My first parish was outside of Greensboro, North Carolina. I like to say it was about 100 yards outside of the city limits and about 100 years back in time. It was the kind of parish that city people who have gone through seminary should probably have. It was rural. I think I may have told you about it, but I'm going to tell you again because I like telling it. It was seriously rural. I learned how to not only slaughter a hog, but how to put said hog down, and how to use the various cuts, and how to get the bristles off of it, and how to make wonderful things such as sausage and scrapple and a marvelous, marvelous dish, which I think you can only find in North Carolina, called liver mush. Catherine has had liver mush. Yeah. They had, I'm sorry? There's a liver mush festival. I will put that on my dance card. And if you believe that, hold your breath. Blue's my favorite color. I learned all about wells, and I learned about septic tanks, and I learned about wood stoves, and I learned how to put up or help put up a log barn, a pole barn rather. These were all the essential things that you needed to know. And I also learned about vegetable growing. There was next to the manse an empty lot, and one of my elders owned it. And he said, you know, every year I come over and tear up a little garden for the pastor. Would you like me to do that for you? Of course, I would love for you to do that. Not to be ashamed that I knew nothing about gardening. The next day he showed up with a tractor and a harrow behind it, and he tore up about a little over an acre for me to put in my vegetable garden. It was a challenge now. I learned some valuable lessons. Nobody needs 12 hills of squat. Okay? Nobody needs another 12 hills of zucchini. You can't throw that stuff away. The garbage men won't pick it up. I had watermelon, I had cantaloupe, I planted corn in rotation, I had cucumbers, peppers. And the day it became all just about ripe, after tending, coming home from work and working 2 and 3 hours in the garden just to keep it going, there was a housing development across the street. Oddly enough, my produce disappeared nightly. And I mentioned that at the men's breakfast, and they said, yeah, that happens. It happens every year. You're one of us now. You have fed the masses. I have never planted a garden since. My first rural parish. There were rules in that church. Mac, our eldest, had been born, and he was doing well, and we were rejoicing. But one morning, when I think he was about 2 or 3 months old, somehow we had run out of Enfamil. Y'all remember that? It might still be sold, I don't know. It's that formula you have to make up. It was Sunday morning. I went to the Kmart down the road, and I bought 3 cans of Enfamil, which was about the equivalent of 1 paycheck. And one of my elders saw me, And I had gotten to church that morning afterwards. And four of the elders were lined up, kind of like a firing squad. And the senior elder of the crowd says, "Pastor, you have set a bad example, and we need to talk with you about it. And this might be the end of your tenure among us." And I said, "What did I do?" "You broke the Sabbath. You went to Kmart and you bought something. We don't know what, it doesn't matter." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, it's formula for my brand new son. Somehow we ran out and I had to get some." Didn't matter. I had broken the Sabbath. And they had a meeting without me there. And they finally decided to let me stay. I was terrified. Here I was, brand new pastor. Been there 2 years, about to be fired. You don't get any bennies for just being there 2 years. You got to make at least three or four, so you go through one rotation of the session. Then you can run for your life. They decided to let me stay. But I was admonished after church on Sunday, "Do not leave your house except for pastoral emergencies." You better believe that the next year and a half, I stayed put on Sunday afternoons. It was my first real experience of the judgment of the Pharisees. And that's what I call it, the quality control people. That church had a lot of them. And they knew what the rules were, and they were determined that everybody would keep them. Oddly enough, that wee church has departed PCUSA, and they have joined the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, where they can legislate people's lives to their heart's content. Bless them. These two stories indicate what happens when religion and faith become codified and petrified. When we replace grateful appreciation of God's providence for fearful expectation of God's punishment. It happens. It happens in our churches. It happens sometimes in our families, in our social institutions. We codify the blessings and we petrify our expectations. In our first story, Jesus and the disciples are walking through a grain field. They are plucking heads of grain because they're hungry. And they are seen. It's kind of like going to Kmart to buy Enfamil. They are seen and they are immediately judged. "What are you doing plucking grain on the Sabbath?" Doesn't matter if you're hungry. You should have prepared snacks yesterday to give you food for the Sabbath. And Jesus comes back and says, "You know, seems to me David and his companions were walking along the road on a Sabbath and they were hungry and they went into the temple and there they grabbed a big hunk of the bread of the presence and they had the temerity to eat it, that bread which was reserved strictly for the use of the priests." And so he kind of got them. But he didn't really, because they just retired until another moment. And here on the Sabbath again, there's a man in the synagogue with a withered hand. And they're waiting to see, what's Jesus going to do? Is he going to break the Sabbath again? We got to wait and see. Another gotcha moment. And Jesus asks them a bunch of questions. He says, is it lawful to do healing or killing on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to help or to hurt on the Sabbath? And they did not have a single answer, according to Scripture. I bet you, though, they did have an answer. They most certainly had an answer. Many years ago, we would call that a hidden agenda. Remember that term? A hidden agenda. But they were afraid to speak it because they knew Jesus would have a really good rejoinder to whatever the agenda was. They'd seen him at work. They'd heard him teaching. They'd watched him healing. And he operated outside the bounds of their expectations of what was right and proper and appropriate. And so they said nothing. And Jesus got angry with them. You don't see Jesus getting angry very often in scriptures. There's three or four times. That's really about it. Jesus got angry with these keepers of propriety. And he said to the man standing there, he said, come forward, stick out your hand. And the second he stuck it out, it was restored. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus did not do anything. Jesus didn't wave his hands. Jesus didn't command the hand to be restored. He did not break the Sabbath. If anybody broke it, it was the man stretching out his hand. Jesus remained pure on the Sabbath, but he was also purely ticked off that the Pharisees wouldn't take the bait. And you know what happened then? Scripture says that the Pharisees and the Herodians conspired together to destroy him. Now, talk about strange bedfellows. The Pharisees and the Herodians hated each other, just absolutely hated each other. The Herodians were always the power-hungry, political manipulation kind of folk. And the Pharisees, they were always the keepers of propriety and the absolute dictators of decorum within the frame of the law. It was like two absolute enemies gathering together to destroy someone else. Would have been a great plot for a Western movie. Louis L'Amour would have done wonders with that idea. Probably did. I haven't read much of his stuff. What are we to make of this? And Jesus comes back and says to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is a powerful declaration. We are not here to live within the constraints of a faith which has been codified and petrified. We are here to live a living faith based on the grace of God. Salvation by grace through faith. And that means we live out our faith in ways that are wonderful and not bound by the expectations of some institution. the motto of the Reunited Church in 1983. It had a Celtic cross, and beneath it were the words Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformanda, the church reformed, always reforming. That means the doors are wide open for us to find ways to praise God, to serve God, to love each other. And the Sabbath, that is a gift from God to take some rest. It's not commanded. It is highly, highly, highly encouraged. Why? God said, because you were slaves in Egypt. And you need to remember that. You didn't get a day off. It was 7 days a week, 24 hours a day of slavery. And the only way you got to have time off was to die. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. That means keep it separate from the other days. Regard it differently. Do things that enable you to rest, to relax, to renew yourself, so that the next day after the Sabbath, you can go forth and serve afresh. The Sabbath is God's gift to us, and it is also God's calling to us to be good stewards of each other and of ourselves. Sabbath to me is very holy. My Sabbath is usually Saturday, and that is the day that Vicki and I reserve to do whatever the Spirit may lead us to do. Sometimes the Spirit leads me to go fish. Sometimes the Spirit leads me to go and take care of my flowers. Note, I did not say vegetables. Sometimes the Spirit calls us to get in the car and take a ride somewhere through the mountains. It's a day set apart for rest and relaxation and renewal. Jesus reminds us over and over again that that's what we are called to do, to be stewards of each other and of ourselves. And if that involves plucking grains of wheat or healing a withered hand, then I'm convinced if we do that, we're standing in pretty good company. Even if it means going to Kmart. And if you do that, God bless you. Over and over again, let us pray. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we rejoice in the Sabbath, that you have made it for our recreation. Help us to live as those who have been given the blessings of the kingdom. Help us to live in freedom and in gratitude and in joy, knowing that wherever we go and whatever we do, as long as we are in your Spirit, it is Sabbath. Amen.